Welcome to Career Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's podcast, The Basics of Calendar Management, Part 2 of 2.
This cast answers these questions. How do I make more time for my family? How do I leave work on time? And what should I do at lunch? That sounds good, actually.
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Do you want to start the new year with real career momentum? Our virtual and in-person conferences teach practical communication, productivity, and leadership skills that you can use immediately. Whether you're preparing for a promotion or strengthening your current role, our training gives you the tools that work in the real world. Find out more about how we can help you by visiting us at manager-tools.com/training.
Okay, next item, scheduling email.
Yep, scheduling email. Now, folks, we covered this very recently. We re-recorded again another classic Career Tools title called Got Email. And here's where we're simply saying, don't let your email ooze into everything you do such that it makes everything you do both ineffective and efficient at everything all of the same time. Like to our point earlier, don't fill every void between an active meeting with doing email. Don't, oh my gosh, God forbid, sit in an actual meeting with other people trying to contribute to an idea, but also doing some emails while you're there.
Because you're a new and different human, because you're Gen Y or Gen Z or you're multitasking, I can do it.
Yeah. So again, we have an entire podcast on this, Got Email. And our recommendation here is that you put time to do your email on your calendar. It is a block of time. It is like what amounts to a meeting event between you and your calendar, your inbox, 3 times a day, and only do your email during those events. Now, there's no such thing as an urgent email. Your colleagues are going to adjust to your change. You are more worried about their reaction than you need to be. You absolutely are. You go plenty of places throughout the course of every single dang day that you're not answering your emails. You're plenty of places for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 2 hours, you're in a meeting and you're not answering email. Same thing here. You will suddenly have all kinds of time. If you segregate your email into these 3 sections, you'll have all kinds of time to do more important, your real work, I would say. Sometimes you may have heard manager tools say in the past that when it comes to doing your email and doing your email successfully is not one of the criteria of successfully doing your job. No one's performance appraisal has measures about their ability to have done well or poorly their email. No one's job description includes do email. It's just a tool to enhance our work, to help us communicate more at work. So we suggest, again, you book 3 times a day to do your email. And going back to our previous premise, this idea of bookending it, this idea of segregating it into a blocked time is going to make you so much more efficient. If you know you only have 45 minutes to get through your email, you're going to do so much better in terms of email answering than if you pick away at it all day long.
Yeah. And what most people are doing is grazing on their email all day on their phone, and then marking things unread that have deliverables or tasks or responsibilities for them. Folks, when you do email, what you're supposed to do is process through your email inbox. And by the way, in the other guidance, and I won't go too much into detail, you should be processing your inbox not in order of the emails coming in, but rather in terms of the importance of the topic. And if you don't know what the topic is, then that goes at the bottom of your inbox for review. But at the top goes things from your boss, that couple of key projects you're working on. Perhaps your primary deliverable in the next couple of weeks will be the things that you worry about. And you have to set up separate inboxes for all these things. And again, your boss's emails to you come first every single time. But in addition, when we say we're processing email, what we mean is we're reading the email. If there is a deliverable, we're capturing it, we're answering the email, and we schedule other time to do the deliverable. We don't try to get it done while we're processing the mail. And yes, your email inbox is a new inbox, and it's stupid that it is. But if you process the mail and say, got it, we'll get it to you, whatever, and then put time on your calendar to spend 15 to 20 minutes on that thing, or 2 hours tonight after everyone goes to bed, if you have to, that's fine. You can do that. And by the way, once you start doing email this way, you'll never go back the other way. Okay, so next on the list is nail down your strategic objectives. This is where some smart people we know start when it comes to calendaring, but we actually have it third, right? They put strategic objectives first. And when we tell them, hey, dude, family has to come first. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then what they secretly admit is, I didn't have family on my calendar at all. I'm like, oh, dude, that's not good. Okay. And we've learned at Manager Tools not to get between people and their email. So we address that right up front. The two most important things affecting a manager's time ought to come first when we talk calendaring. And of course, that's family and email. But number three is big as well, and will actually be more time on your calendar than email. All we're saying is get time on your calendar for email and attack your email and get through it and drive to inbox zero every single day, 3 times a day. And we're recommending you put time on your calendar twice a week, if not more. I would recommend even 4 or 5 times a week, but it has to be on there for your strategic objectives.
Yeah. Now, folks, we recommend that this strategic objective work or strategic objective time comes Monday afternoon and Wednesday mornings. As a general rule, it's more important to get the time there than it is to specifically choose those exact times.
Depending upon what the operational tempo is of your organization and whether Monday afternoons or Wednesday mornings are good for you.
Yeah. And we generally recommend 3 hours broken into 2 90-minute appointments. Now, individuals who choose Monday and Wednesday, or don't choose Monday and Wednesday, depending on op tempo, Monday and Wednesday don't need to be the dates that you choose, but we do recommend generally you avoid the first morning of your week, which for most of us is going to be Monday morning. There are going to be too many detractors. We would love for you to sit down and with your mind clear, coming back from the weekend, be able to sit down and look at it and say, yes, I'm going to go right into this strategic objective, but you're going to have way too many things that you need to sort through the first morning of your week that you're not going to be able to focus on your strategic objectives the moment that you sit down. Now, that said, you still have to make headway early in the week, and thus we choose Monday afternoon for really your first strategic objective check-in.
Now, when we say strategic objectives, what we mean are the key quarterly or annual deliverables and goals you've committed to. It might be time to plan. It might be time to have a meeting. It might be time for you to do your individual work. It might be preparing a report for your boss at the end of the quarter on your progress. But the whole key of this recommendation is to set standing meetings for yourself twice a week at minimum to ensure that you make progress every week on your key deliverables and your major initiatives. We tell the story of, we can ask this of those of you listening now. Suppose you were a manager and you had a book you wanted your team to read. And let's say they all have expense accounts for small training items and so on. And so you say to them, hey, look, I really want us all to read this book. It's January 1st. And we're going to take all January to read it. So go get the book whenever you want. Bill it to the company. You can get an ebook or you can get the hardback, whatever. You are welcome to read it at work because it's a work assignment. And at the end of this month, January 31st, we are going to have pizza and beer at the office. I'm paying. And we're going to talk about this book, what you learned, what you thought, how you grew, disagreements, and so on. Okay. That's the thing. And then you never mention that book ever again. And then we ask, what percentage? Raise your hand if you believe over half of your team will have read the book a month later. And no one ever raises their hand unless they have only one or two direct.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes one or two people raise it because they have a single direct.
Yeah. And the snarky answer to this, I often say to the audience is, what, your people can't read? And they're like, no, no, it's not that. It's that a deliverable that's a month away is going to be put off until the last possible minute, even though that deliverable will probably take a month. And by the way, in project management language, every time that your project is always at risk of being delayed by the longest task in the project. So the moment somebody doesn't have the book read on day 31, that project is now 31 days overdue. And so we're putting this on your calendar so that you can keep up, so that you always go up to 30,000 feet and say, what am I supposed to have done this week, this month, this quarter? And let's make sure I'm doing the right things. And that doesn't mean that you only do it during this time. You will be making notes of one-on-one conversations you're going to have with your directs about stuff that's related to quarterly or semi-annual or strategic goals. You're going to be scheduling time with other people to move things forward, to check on things. If you don't do it, it won't get done. And then you'll be rushing around at the last minute. Your boss will know you pulled it out in an all-nighter and it will show. And you won't be a professional because nobody can trust you to do work longer than a day or a week long.
Yeah. And folks, we have to put this time on our calendar now before all the other meetings creep in and fill in all the cracks. The way you can think about this is using the big rocks theory.
I love this. Yeah.
Right. You want to put the big things on your calendar, the important things on your calendar first to make sure that there is time for that. Then all the other little things can fill in around them and you will still always ensure you've got time for what is most important. If you don't put it on your calendar now, 3 months from now, that time will not be there. Things are going to start filling in the cracks and you're never going to get to it. To Mark's point, you're going to have to pull an all-nighter because you didn't do the small necessary things in the lead up to an event. And now it's a big deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you considering your next role? Whether you're making a fresh new start or are moving up, make sure your interviewing skills are ready to go. Gain access to our interview series with a Career Tools license by visiting us online at manager-tools.com/licenses.
All right, next on the list, block out time for one-on-ones. Now, this is a little unusual because it sounds like we're feathering our own nest here about one-on-ones. But what we know about one-on-ones, if you don't schedule time for them, they will not happen. Or at least you're 1/20th as likely to have a high percentage of completion or compliance of your one-on-ones if you don't schedule them compared to the manager who does. If you're a manager, so in other words, you have direct reports, there are some of you who are managers who don't have direct reports, but in our language, a manager is someone with directs. The single most valuable enabler of your direct's effectiveness on your calendar is one-on-one time every single week. Some of you don't want to, but for those of you who never have done them, that doesn't make us any less right about this. Everyone thinks that an effective way to give negative feedback is the silver bullet of management, and they're just completely wrong. The silver bullet of management is trust, and of all the ways, and we've tried over 25 ways to build trust with directs, of all the ways we have tried to build trust, one-on-ones in their present format with 5 non-negotiable components associated with it is the most powerful thing you can do. And not just any one-on-one. We really do recommend you pay attention to all of our casts, which are voluminous about one-on-ones. It's the most important activity managers engage in because it's the biggest driver of the most important measurement of all management, which is trust, how much your directs trust you. And the non-negotiable parts are, it has to be scheduled.
The most important aspect of our one-on-ones, it has to be scheduled. We just put out a Manager Tools podcast that went in depth about why scheduling is so important.
Yeah. So scheduled, okay, weekly. Interestingly, we used to teach weekly first. Now we teach scheduled first because it's more valuable. Scheduled, weekly, 30 minutes long. That's all you need. Your direct goes first and you take notes. And I just want to say something about weekly and 30 minutes long because we're talking about calendars here today. The reason we recommend those two is because we tested biweekly, twice a week, and also fortnightly. We tested tri-weekly. We tested 45 minutes. We tested 15 minutes. We tested 40 minutes. We tested 20 minutes. 30 minutes weekly was the best periodicity and the best length associated with it. Okay. So it is not just hanging out with your people. It has to be managed because it's a priorities and you have a calendar. So it has to be fitted into your calendar. But we also have a guarantee about our one-on-ones. If you do one-on-ones our way, following those five non-negotiables, we guarantee you will get more time back in your calendar than you spend in your one-on-ones. That's how effective they are. So we couldn't not recommend our one-on-ones, Manager Tools one-on-ones, MTO3s, to everybody in the calendaring cast when we have something that doesn't take time. It gives you back time. Or at least, actually, it does take time, but it gives you back more time. All the time you're being pinged, all the emails you're getting, all the text messages, you don't need to do those anymore. If I have a one-on-one with you, if today is Monday and our one-on-one is Wednesday, I'm going to hold off on talking to you about a lot of things because I know I have time with you on Wednesday. On the other hand, if you're too busy and you do them every other week, I can't wait until next Wednesday. So I'm going to be pinging you and eating at you and nibbling at your heels all day, every day this week because I can't wait. Yeah, next Mondays and Tuesdays stuff, I can wait until next Wednesday, but not this week's stuff. So you got to put one-on-ones on your calendar. And we have specific guidance in those one-on-one casts about what days of week and how to schedule them, and how to make it work and so on.
Absolutely. Okay. And then the last big block we recommend that you put on your calendar before, again, all the other meetings fill in the cracks is network building lunches, which I think folks might be surprised by. Maybe not folks in the Manager Tools community, but...
Oh, yeah. They're surprised. No question.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that is that valuable. It makes the top five, if you will. And folks, again, going back to our one-on-one guidance, the idea of these network building lunches is kind of analogous to leaving or a one-on-one agenda that is 10 minutes for them, 10 minutes for you, 10 minutes for the future. We know that in your one-on-ones, you're probably not going to talk about the future for 10 minutes every single week. We know you're probably going to end up talking 15 and 15 more often. That is logical. That's how most of us do it. But that last 10 minutes for the one-on-one anyway exists to remind us that we need to constantly be thinking about or revisiting, especially when there's time, the future with our directs. We find that if it's not on the schedule, again, it doesn't happen in an effective way. So these little inherent reminders that we can create for ourselves increase the likelihood we'll do the important things.
Yeah. And look, HR is not managing your career. Nobody's managing your career. They didn't tell us they're not managing our career. They just stopped doing it and then acted as if they should still be able to have influence over our career. And like, I'm sorry, it's either you or me. And if it's me, then I'm going to take control of my career. And for those of you who are worried about us saying you leave the building and go to lunch on Tuesdays or Thursdays or both to maintain your career, remember, your relationship with your company is not a career suicide pact. You do not have to work so hard. You do not have to put their stuff such a high priority that you can't take care of your own career. And yes, results and relationships are the hallmark, are the bedrock success of your career. But those relationships are both internal and external. We believe that one of the most valuable and easy things to do regarding career management is building a strong network. And by the way, we're not saying go networking. No, we get that. You don't like that. It's too salesy, whatever. It works, by the way, but that's okay. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be used Carl Salesman. We get that. But you want you want relationships, a network that is both internal to the company and external to your present firm or employer. And you have to leave the office in order to do that. I had some people tell me during COVID they were having lunch with colleagues over Zoom because everybody left to go home and they have Zoom lunch. And
it was illegal to meet with them in a restaurant.
Yes. And so they had it over the camera, which I thought was very clever. It never occurred to me to do that. I know families started having drinks together in the evening.
Yeah. My family did brunches every once in a while. We do a brunch.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because we were always remote because we live on different parts of the country. Remote. But it was just like, hey, there's this new technology. I mean, Technology certainly improved and made it a lot easier to do things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're going to have some cancellations and some misses, but put some time on your calendar for that and then fill it up. But someone who takes just one of their lunches each week, we're talking about 20% of your work week, gets 30 or 40 done each year. You end up with a great network. And, you know, there's an old saying, it's a dark saying, but the worst time to have a son is 18 years before a war. Okay. Napoleon once told his arborists, his gardeners and so on, he says, I want my soldiers on all the major roads leading into and out of France. I want them to be able to march in the shade. And they said, well, Your Excellency, First Consul, I mean, that will take years. And he looked at him and said, yeah, you better get started. And 20 years later, they were marching into and out of France in shade. So if you want to have a good retirement, you should plan for it now. Because if you don't plan for your retirement, you won't have one. Okay. And so that means doing the things now. By the way, getting away from work for 90 minutes will feel really, really good. And every once in a while, when your boss says, well, I see there's a lunch with somebody here. Yeah, old friend of mine, he's in town. Or, you know, somebody I just met last weekend at a football game, or somebody I saw at the Army-Navy game that I haven't seen in a while or whatever. So he and I are getting together. He says, well, okay, well, hurry back. Okay, now, if you're going to say to us, Mark, if they're going to say that to me, I can't go. Okay. I promise you, if I said to you, okay, well, hurry back. No problem. You're going to do that. It's fine. And then I said, okay, or you said, okay, I won't go. I'd say, no, go. Don't do that. Right. Have the courage of your convictions. Nobody will miss you. It's just like when people get off the golf course, they're thinking about what they shot in their game. I happen to be a golfer, and somebody comes up to them and says, hey, what'd you shoot? And you're happy to tell them if it's a good round, and you want commiseration if it's a bad round. And so you start to say your round, and your friend looks at you and says, nobody cares. Same thing with this. One lunch meeting a month, nobody cares. You can't do it 4 days a week. Okay, you can't do that, particularly when you've got logistics involved. But yeah, 30 or 40 lunches a year, that's huge. You're going to have a darn good network.
Yeah, agreed. And folks, when it comes to scheduling these networking lunches, it doesn't have to be a particular day. It really doesn't. Different days work better in different places. And we don't mean to mislead you about scheduling them. You don't schedule the lunch the week of that lunch, the lunch you're having, you're going to have to stay 2 or 3 weeks ahead.
But not 6 months ahead. You know, that doesn't work.
Yeah, exactly. But you can't just be pinging people on Monday or Tuesday like, hey, do you want to do lunch tomorrow? Maybe you can, but remember, they also have a calendar, right? A calendar issue similar to yours. So getting out ahead of it a few weeks.
Yeah, I have a friend and client up in Silicon Valley who has breakfasts because, you know, the day in Silicon Valley doesn't start until in the morning. And it's always at the same place. It's called Parcel 51. It's right near Burke's in Santa Clara. And it's a hotel restaurant, and they have breakfast. And he schedules 2 or 3 a week. And sometimes people move around. But now, if he says to me, I want to have breakfast with you, I'm like, okay, usual place? Yeah. And he goes there. Now, they treat him great. Because yeah, he brings in a lot of business. So if you can do that, if you're in a big city and can do that, we encourage you to try that as well.
All right, folks, we're going to wrap it up now. Remember that calendar management isn't about cramming more into your day. It's about making intentional choices about what deserves your time and attention. Your calendar is a reflection of your priorities, whether you've planned it that way or not. When you create a space for focused work and the items that are truly important, you're going to be better able to respond effectively instead of reactively.
Yeah, proactive rather than reactive. That's what makes for success. And look, folks, even small changes, protecting your personal commitments, your familial commitments, blocking out some time for networking, blocking out email time, setting clear meeting boundaries, it adds up quickly. These are small things that will make a big difference over the long run. If you have a well-managed calendar, and believe me, the President of the United States and every CEO and frankly, every COO and every EVP, they have very tightly managed calendars and they feel like their calendar runs them. And that's the reason why they're a lot more productive than the rest of us. If your calendar is well-managed, you're going to have less stress. It feels like a warm blanket that you know what you're supposed to be doing. And it also helps you show up more fully for the work and the people that matter the most, which is your family.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you so much, folks. We hope that this helped you. Now, help us help others and tell your friends. And of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please.